Dear listeners, due to a computer failure during our live stream of the IPC morning worship service via Zoom, the first 48 seconds of Pastor Mark's sermon got nearly lost, but could be recovered in the end with, too bad, a rather inferior quality. The Old Testament reading was of such bad quality too that we had to newly record that passage for this podcast sequence. We regret this inconvenience and hope you understand that any such failure can occur even with the best possible equipment. The IPC sound and stream team wishes you fine hearing and blessed days ahead.
The Lord be with you. Good morning and welcome to worship here at IPC. If you're visiting with us this morning, we extend a special welcome to you. We pray that in our time together, you will experience the love of God and the love of His people. It's great to see folks back after the holiday period, and I trust you are getting used to paying 50 francs for a club sandwich instead of 20 euros for a plate of pasta somewhere, or $10 for a hamburger, back to Zurich prices and Zurich ways. But okay, it was fun while it lasted abroad, right? Now we're back to reality. So it is another church year that's upon us here, and we trust that you are rested and ready for service to this church and service to God's kingdom as well. Here at IPC, we come from the four corners of the earth to worship, but we are united in our faith in the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And so let's now prepare for worship, offering a prayer to Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. O gracious and holy God, in our worship this morning, we ask that you give us diligence to seek you, wisdom to perceive you, and patience to wait for you. Grant us, O God, a mind to meditate on you, eyes to behold you, ears to listen for your word, a heart to love you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 18, verses 1 to 6 and 46 to 50, and can be found on pages 550 to 552 of the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David, and to his descendants forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's New Testament reading comes from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They all fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Please join me in prayer as we prepare for the preaching of God's word. Let's pray. Lord God, help us by your Spirit to know your ways and follow your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. So who doesn't love a rescue story, right? Whether it's a rescue story of a cat, a dog, or a whale, we humans, well, generally speaking at least, we love to hear stories of creatures in peril being saved through the efforts of brave and benevolent heroes. So this morning we're going to hear two rescue stories. But these rescue stories, well, I say unfortunately, but fortunately so, are not going to involve cats, dogs, whales, or any other type of creatures of that sort. They're going to involve humans, actually. Both stories are going to involve humans. And not just any humans. The first one is going to involve a king, in fact, King David. It's a rescue story King David tells about his own rescue, something we just read about in Psalm 18. So let's look at that rescue story first, the one David tells about his own rescue in Psalm 18, and then we'll move on to the other rescue story. So, not unlike other psalms that David has written, David starts out this psalm with a very poetic, this whole psalm is very poetic, but this part especially, it starts with a poetic description of David's, the mortal danger David faced in this moment. Listen to it again. This is what David says. He says, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. So David describes here what he's going through, and it's akin to being hanged by a noose, drowned by a flood, and caught in a trap, all at the same time. Now, if you're any English teachers here, right, we might call David out for mixed metaphors, right? You're not supposed to do that. But it's for emphasis here, right? Cords entangle him, torrents overwhelm him, snares confront him. In other words, he is in deep, deep, deep trouble. What kind of deep, deep, deep trouble? We don't know precisely. But often when King David is in trouble, he's being hunted down or attacked by his enemies. A lot of people in his life, including his own family members, were frequently out to get him. David's life was often in danger. He was often being threatened by those wishing to see him dead and gone. Sometimes, clearly, it's not good to be the king. So for David, then, this is a situation of mortal danger, a situation of mortal danger, so that not surprisingly in the following verses we read of a cry for help from him. In my distress, he says, I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. So David cries out to God to save him, and save him he does. In David's poetic description of this salvation, we read this. We read that fast and furious, in an awesome display of power, God somehow intervenes to save him. Verse 7. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled because he, God, was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. And now here's the actual rescue. Listen to this. Again, very poetically described here. God reached down from on high and took hold of me, David says. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Like I said, a very poetic description here of God's rescue of David. But that's not the end of the story, and that's not the end of the psalm. King David knows he's a very blessed man. And because David's a great musician, we can assume he's literally singing God's praises when he says this. Verse 30 I'm at now. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He's a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? So David here is looking back. He's looking back at what God has done for him. And he gives him praise and thanks. But David's celebration of who God is and what he's done for him isn't only backward looking. It's also frontward looking, future oriented. David celebrates next in the psalm who God will yet be for him. How God will yet be his God. And in fact, that's how the psalm finishes. It ends, as Peter read. It ends with an expression of confidence in God for the future, in times to come. David is confident that his God will continue to be good to him, that he will continue to show kindness to him, not just now, but forever. This is what he says, and this is how the psalm ends. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Okay, so that was our first story of rescue this morning. To recap, the story of rescue involving King David consisted of, first, a situation of mortal danger. Second, an act of divine rescue. Third, an expression of praise. And fourth, a statement of confidence. Situation of mortal danger, an act of divine rescue, an expression of praise, a statement of confidence. It's a pretty good rescue story, don't you think? I've got another one for you. Another one we find in the Bible, actually. And interestingly, as this rescue story goes, the elements are pretty much the same as the rescue story I just told, or we just read. We have in this second rescue story, too, a situation of mortal danger, and then an act of divine rescue. And then following that, an expression of praise, and after that, a statement of confidence. So, what rescue story am I talking about now? What is the second story of rescue? Well, it's the rescue story of humanity, of you, of me, right? I think you're familiar with that, or at least in broad terms. So, in what way can we speak of humanity being in a situation of mortal danger? Well, in this way, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then, as we read further in Romans, we hear this, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. That sounds like mortal danger to me. Does it sound like mortal danger to you? Doesn't sound good, right? All of humanity, right? All of humanity, without exception, is under God's judgment on account of their rejection of him. We're all under God's judgment on account of our wanting to go our way, do our own thing, in opposition to him. Our desire from Adam and Eve on is to live life on our terms, not God's. And this is a recipe for wrath, as we just read in Romans 2. God's wrath. In this way, then, we can speak of humanity in a situation of mortal danger, of you and me in a situation of mortal danger. And this is with respect to our eternal destiny. But then, of course, in this story too, in the story we read from the Bible, there's a divine act of rescue, right?
As in the rescue story of Psalm 18, in this rescue story too, God intervenes from heaven above to save those in mortal danger below. And here's an account of that rescue. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So in love, once again, God rescues. But that's not the end of the story either, is it? Not in Psalm 18, nor in the story of humanity. In both stories, the rescue then go on to express praise for their God, the rescuer. They look back and give thanks. And as far as the second story goes, there are many places in the New Testament where we can find these expressions of praise and thanks for the rescue of humanity. But this one comes from 1 Peter. This is where Peter says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That's one way to express praise and thanksgiving for the divine rescue God has effected for humanity. But then there's the last part of the rescue story, right? We talked about that before. In addition to a backward-looking expression of praise and thanks, there's a forward-looking statement of confidence and assurance. In other words, there's a statement of hope that follows. Not just thanks for what happened, but hope for what will yet happen. And this we take from the second reading this morning that Peter read from Revelation, where God's people are celebrating the salvation to come. They're looking forward to this. Here they say, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." So like David in Psalm 18, God's people here, they bank on God's continuing salvation. They're sure that his rescue is not going to be just a rescue for now, but it's going to be a rescue for all time. Because of who God is, they dare hope. They dare hope, full of confidence that the salvation he promised is going to come. Okay, two stories of rescue, right? First one featuring God and David, the second one featuring God and humanity. The first one, a rescue from physical death. The second one, a rescue from spiritual death. So I'm guessing that some of us here today have experienced something like this first rescue, the one described in Psalm 18, this rescue that David tells about as he writes. So whether it was an illness or a disease or an accident or even an enemy, we've experienced God intervening in the course of normal human events, such as he did in Psalm 18. He intervenes in the course of normal human events or natural human events, and he rescues us or a loved one from a threat to life and limb, right? We've experienced this firsthand in our lives. We've experienced God in his power dramatically saving us or someone we knew, someone we loved, from danger or disaster. Again, just like David experienced in Psalm 18. And for this, we give God thanks and praise, and rightly so. But others of us here, though, we perhaps have not experienced such a dramatic rescue from God, even when there was an opportunity for him to do so, to make such a rescue happen. As we or a loved one experience it, God perhaps did not rescue when there was danger, God did not save when there was a disaster. As we experience, he did not cure when there was an illness. He did not heal when there was a disease. He did not prevent the accident. He did not stop the fall. He did not protect the kids or didn't spare the marriage. He didn't safeguard the job or preserve the career. From our experience, he didn't deliver on the test score or provide for us a meaningful relationship, even when we prayed for it. And it was awful and it was painful and it changed life as we knew it. And perhaps for some of us, life hasn't been the same since. So, for those of us who fall into this latter camp, those of us who feel that we
haven't experienced God's salvation or God's rescue as David got to experience it in Psalm 18. God intervening from above and rescuing us here down below. For those of us who fall into this category, maybe I can just share this truth, or maybe better said, maybe I can just share this hope. This hope. When it comes to the rescues we've talked about this morning, the two rescues, the second rescue is definitely the first rescue. Right? Is that Pastor Mark just saying stuff again? He does that, you know, just says stuff. Doesn't make any sense. The second rescue is the first rescue. So what do I mean by that? Well, I mean simply that the second rescue we've talked about this morning, the rescue brought about by God for humanity through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is ultimately the most important of all rescues, the best of all rescues, the most significant of all rescues. And this because it is the most comprehensive and long-lasting rescue one can receive. This rescue, after all, involves mind, body, and soul, and it is not just a rescue for a time, but for eternity. Let's face it, most of the rescues we pray for are temporary rescues, right? Temporary because one day, all that is precious to us, including our own lives and the lives of those whom we love, they will inevitably be taken away from us. It's going to happen. Now, this doesn't mean that such temporary rescues are unimportant and then we shouldn't pray for them. On the contrary, they're incredibly important. The rescue of life and limb, after all, is important to God because He created life to be protected and preserved. He created life to be treasured and valued. Life to Him is precious, and it should be to us too. That said, though, because of its scope and content, the first kind of rescue we talked about today, the rescue of life and limb, is but a shadow of the second kind of rescue. For this rescue, the second rescue, is the rescue of our eternal mind, body, and souls. It is the rescue of our eternal selves from judgment. But this is not only a rescue from kind of a rescue. This is also a rescue to kind of a rescue. This is a rescue to the perfection of the new heavens and the new earth. It is a rescue to life as it should be. It is a rescue to life as it was created to be by God our Creator. It's a rescue to forever peace and harmony. It's a rescue to unimaginable joy. So you see, well, inextricably linked and related, these two rescues we've talked about today cannot be equally compared, which is something David actually continually attests to in his Psalms. It's often the case in the Psalms that we find David lamenting God's seeming inaction. We find regularly that God is lamenting, or that David is lamenting God's seeming absence when it comes to saving him from his present troubles. But as David laments these non-rescues from his present troubles, David often reminds himself of God's everlasting love and eternal care. He reminds himself that someday this greater salvation will come. One example I'll give you is from Psalm 31. Psalm 31, David laments all the trouble he's facing. God has not intervened to rescue him. But David cries out, and David then he cries out in distress. He tells God this, verse 12, "I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery." Now, I don't know what broken pottery is much like, but I don't think it's a good thing, right? But the psalm doesn't end there with those words of David, just lamenting. David goes on to express confidence and hope in God. Confidence, hope that God has not forgotten them and that someday he will do right by him.
He says this toward the end of the psalm, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." So David here reminds himself that ultimately God's rescue will come. Even though he hasn't experienced rescue and may never experience rescue from his present troubles. So I don't know where all of you are on any of this. I'm guessing a fair number of us today here are in some way awaiting God's rescue, either for us or for someone we love. We're waiting for God to display his power and love in our lives or in the lives of a loved one. We're waiting for God's intervention from above, and the waiting isn't easy. Every day, perhaps every hour, we're pleading with God to do something, to act, to cure, to heal, to alleviate, to rescue, to save. My hope for us then is this. My hope is that as those in Christ, we pray for rescue, but at the same time, we give thanks for rescue. You see where I am here? Right? We pray for rescue from our present troubles, but at the same time, we give thanks for our rescue from the ultimate of troubles. Right? As those in Christ, we pray for rescue for our present predicament, but at the same time, we give thanks for our rescue from our eternal predicament. As those in Christ, we pray for the lesser salvation, as big as that might be. I don't mean to minimize it. As those in Christ, we pray for the lesser salvation, but at the same time, we give thanks for the greater salvation, the salvation to eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. As I said before, this is the rescue of all rescues. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a rescuing God, and we pray for rescue out of the present troubles we face in our lives, the troubles that give us so much pain, so much agony, perhaps so much worry and concern as well. But at the same time, God, we thank you for the rescue that you have already brought about for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Followers of Jesus Christ, go from here today expectant of God's ultimate rescue. As followers of Jesus Christ, go from here today confident of God's ultimate rescue. And as followers of Jesus Christ, go from here today assured of God's ultimate rescue. Go from here today with the knowledge that God's ultimate rescue, his once and for all, eternal and abiding, mind, body, and soul rescue, is yours in and through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you always. Amen.